Before I begin today, two of our young brethren here, Brother Paul Sanford and Brother Paul Collins, came to me Wednesday evening, and they shared with me something that they have on their heart that I just thought was an excellent idea. And I'm going to give Brother Paul Sanford just a moment. He's going to come, and I want everyone to really pay close attention to what he has to say. This is something that I believe could be very helpful in our church. And so he's going to share with you what it is that they have on their heart to begin. So, Brother Paul.
Thanks for doing this.
Seems like there is a lot of need at our church right now. A lot of people are sick, a lot of people are homebound, and just a lot of people are in tough situations. And some people may not be able to take care of their houses, their yards, doing yard work, vacuuming the floors inside, simple things like that. May not be able to take care of things like that. And Paul and I and some other people here have talked and kind of thinking, wanting to put together a work team to kind of address those needs as they arise. I have a pretty good feeling there are quite a few needs out there like that. And a lot of times people may not have the family or the neighbors or the money to pay for things like that. So we're thinking it would be good if especially the youth of the church could help out and kind of give back to the older generation and just to the church members and visitors here, if we could kind of organize and maybe spend a day a week or a few hours a week doing things like that. So there's a flyer back there in the vestibule about just kind of explaining this in a little bit more detail. And there's a sign-up sheet. If you yourself have a need or if you know of someone that has a need like that, if you could write your name and phone number and the need back there, or if you just want to talk with us personally, you can talk with us after church, or our phone numbers are back there, Paul's number and my number. And we want to make sure everyone feels welcome to sign up, and also everyone feels welcome to help out. We particularly like for the youth to help, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be anybody, and I'm sure those needs are being addressed in some kind of ways for some people, but maybe not everyone. So if the needs are out there, we would like to try to help out and get as many people on board as possible. So if you have any questions, just talk with one of us. And like I said, there's a flyer back there, and please pray for it. I feel like it's a really good opportunity for the youth and other members to give back to the church, and also for just everyone involved to grow closer together in fellowship. So just remember it in your prayers and keep that in mind. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you, Brother Paul. And let's get behind them and support them, remember them in our prayers. If you'd like to read along with me today, I'll ask you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Ecclesiastes is really an interesting book. It's always the things that Solomon wrote here have always intrigued me. So let's begin reading with the fourth verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 as we read together. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I'll stop reading there with verse 11. And I want to ask your prayers as I stand before you today and just try to share with you, just try to express before you the thoughts that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. I want to speak to you today about the vanity of earthly accomplishments. This, I believe, is something that perhaps we oftentimes we don't want to hear this type of thing or read the types of things that Solomon wrote here. And certainly I'm aware today that for anybody that's here listening to the message this morning that is a person that tends to have great worldly ambition, I understand that this type of thought can no doubt burst your bubble. But I believe that a lot of people in this would even say, well, Solomon was very negative. He was being very negative in the things that he said. But I don't believe that Solomon was being negative. I believe he was being realistic. I believe he was talking about the reality of earth, our earthly accomplishments. And that's really what in these verses that I have read, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, that's what Solomon was really talking about here. And when we get down to verse 10, the thought kind of pauses there and stops for a moment. But in those verses, in those seven verses there, verse 4 through 10, he speaks about all of the things that he had accomplished during his reign as the king of Israel. He speaks about built great houses that he built or had built, the great vineyards and the orchards and the gardens and the trees and all of the vegetation that was planted. How that he had gotten servants, how that he had singers, how that he had an orchestra, all of these things that he had accomplished during his reign as a king. He had access to things, and he was able, and he had people as a king, he had people that he could reach out to that were willing to offer him help as the king of Tyre did with the cedars of Lebanon when he was building the temple. And so Solomon was in a position in his life to get a lot accomplished. And he tells us, no doubt these verses won't begin to fully describe to us all the things that he did while he was a king, but he tells us generally in this the things that he accomplished. And then at the beginning of the 11th verse and the last verse that I read, Solomon steps back and he takes a look at the things that he had done. Have you ever done that? Have you ever set out to do something? I'm sure that probably most everybody here has done this very thing. You set out to accomplish something. Maybe you start in the morning to get a certain amount of work done out in your yard, or maybe you were building a building or something, and you start out, and then when it's complete, you stand back and you look at it and you observe what you have accomplished. And that's what Solomon was doing here. That's what he spoke about in the 11th verse. He said, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do." And I want you to notice that when he said that, when Solomon said, basically, if I could just paraphrase here just a little bit, when Solomon stepped back and looked at all of that and said, "Wow, look at, you know, all of these things that I've built, all of these things that I have accomplished as a king," I want you to notice that he didn't say, "These things are beautiful." He didn't boast in what he had done when he looked at it. But what he said instead was that when he looked at it, he said, "Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Well, what was Solomon really saying in that? Was he telling people that it's useless to work? Of course not. You've heard me, and I'm sure that you've heard other people. I know that I have actually preached on this here before. I believe that people ought to work. I don't believe people ought to just be idle. I don't believe people ought to just lay around and expect, the world to, there are people in the world today that feel like that somebody else owes them a living, and that's not right, is it? That's not right. When I was growing up, I was taught to work. If you want something, you work for it. And so Solomon wasn't degrading work here. He wasn't telling people, "Well, you know, it's better to just be on welfare," or anything like that. No, but what he was talking about was the emptiness, and that's what vanity means. He was talking about the vanity or the emptiness that really is attached to the things that we lay our hands to, and there's not any great profit in them. And that's exactly what Solomon was saying. We're not taking them with us when we go. We're going to leave them behind here. And at the very best, the things that we do in this life, at their very best, will only last and will only serve us for just a little while. And that's one of the things I believe that makes them empty, or that makes them vain, is that our earthly accomplishments are not everlasting. They're just temporal. And we find that out in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to speak about that, but I'm not going to bring that up yet. We are, generally speaking, people are ambitious people. We in this country, especially that we have been blessed to live in, there has been the opportunity for people to do things here that there have been many people that have and do live in other parts of the world that don't have the same access to things that we do, and they don't have the same opportunity that we do to accomplish the things that we can here. And you may remember reading about how that when Israel was in bondage under the Egyptians, that the Egyptians enslaved them and they used them to build great cities for them. And people for years and years and years, I noticed that where my wife and I live, that There's new construction. There's new houses that are being built behind us. And that's not anything new for man. People have been, we can go back, as I said, all the way back to the days of Egypt, and we can see men laying their hands to things and building things and building houses and building cities. And just as Solomon spoke here about the great houses that were built during his time as a king, and people have been doing that for years and years and years. The things that Solomon built, the things that we read about here in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, you know, it's been a long time. A lot of years have passed since Solomon was here on earth. And those vineyards and those things that he spoke about, many of the things that Solomon actually built himself, they have long since passed away. They've been gone for a long time, and somebody else has come along and they have built something else. And Solomon spoke about that in his writing in Ecclesiastes. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the rivers run. They run their circuits. They dump into the sea, and they continue to do that. And man continues to build and to accomplish things. And I believe it's very important that we keep those things in their proper perspective, because earthly possessions and earthly accomplishments can bring about a very false sense of security. And the scriptures tell us about that. Listen, don't base your life. Don't base the hope of your life. Don't base all of your importance and all your interest on things that are temporary, on things that only last a little while. Don't focus all of your energy on things like that, because there's an emptiness attached to that. There's a great vanity that is attached to that. And, there have been people that have built things, and those things didn't last nearly as long as they expected them to. They were like the great house that Job's children were in when they lost their lives. A great wind came and smote the four corners of it and just destroyed it. There's people right now that we, and it seems to be so commonplace anymore, doesn't it? I mean, every time I turn around, I hear there's a hurricane somewhere, there's tornadoes somewhere that are sweeping through neighborhoods, and they're destroying property, and the houses and things that people live in are just, they're just wiped out. I mean, they're here one minute and they're gone the next, and that's the way things are that are temporary. That's the way things are with our earthly accomplishments. In fact, that's the way that our very earthly life is. Here 1 second, and gone the next. Temporary. They're not going to last. And the Bible tells us time and time and time again. Listen, this is one of the great warnings in Scripture. I'm going to share some verses with you. But the Bible tells us over and over and over. Solomon wasn't the only one that wrote about it. Jesus spoke about it in several places. The Apostle Paul spoke about it in his writings. But the Bible tells us over and over that it's not in these vain riches that we are to trust, and it's not in these temporal things that we are to place all of our importance in, because those things are not going to last. Here's what Jesus said about it. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not, Jesus? Well, because moth and rust corrupt them, and thieves break through and steal them. You ever had anything that you really like, something, a material possession, something perhaps that you purchased, something that you worked hard for, and you were glad that you had that, and the next thing you know, somebody that wasn't willing to work came along and stole it from you? thieves break through and steal. And if the thieves don't get it, the moth and rust get it, and it decays and it's gone. And so Jesus said, don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, because that's what happens to our earthly treasures. But he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where these things don't happen, where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, and wherever that a person's heart, or wherever that a person's treasure is, that's where their heart will be also. Jesus spoke about a man, and I told you a moment ago that temporary wealth and earthly accomplishments can bring about a false sense of security. And there's a man in a parable form that Jesus spoke about in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke in verses 16 through 21 that teach us that exactly. Jesus wanted people to know that it wasn't worth it to place our trust and our importance in those things. And he spoke about the ground of a certain rich man bringing forth plentifully. And he experienced a great harvest. You know, we read about Solomon here, how that he planted all of these vineyards, and no doubt he was getting a lot of produce from these things. And no doubt the people there in the days of Solomon, during the time that he reigned as a king there in Israel, the people probably were eating good. They had access to the things that he was doing there as a king. And so Jesus spoke about this man ground had brought forth plentifully. In fact, he had had such a great harvest and was having such a great harvest that he didn't have room to even store all of it. His barns began to overflow. He couldn't fit it all in there. And so he said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You see, those things were giving him a false sense of security. You know, listen, just because a person has a lot doesn't guarantee that person that they'll enjoy it for a lot of years, does it? They may not enjoy it hardly any time before it or before they are gone. And so that man there had a false sense of security in those things. We read about the rich man there in Luke chapter 16, where we read about the rich man and we read about Lazarus the beggar. And that rich man, I believe, no doubt had a false sense of security in the things that he possessed. He fared sumptuously every day. He wasn't in need of anything. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I believe that we saw a time. I base this upon what I read about and what I'm told. Some of you here can base it upon living through it. But I believe that there was a time, and there have been times in this country, that people had, from a material standpoint, that people had a lot less than what they have now, and they were a lot happier than what they are now. Money can't buy happiness. I mean, there's people that kid themselves into thinking that it can, but it can't. It can't buy happiness, it can't buy love, it can't buy the things that are good, those things that come from God. But anyway, that man there in Luke chapter 16 that wasn't ever in need of anything in this life, day after day, that he had all that he could possibly want and fared sumptuously every day. And we see the great contrast of the beggar Lazarus, who had nothing, who had to beg in order to eat. He had to beg the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table, had sores all over his body, and dogs were coming around and licking on his sores. I mean, he was destitute and he was in an awful condition according to the flesh. But the Bible tells us that both of those men died. The Bible even says the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He saw Lazarus afar off, comforted there in the bosom of Abraham. Well, what was the difference? Well, Lazarus was saved, and the rich man wasn't. And so, we start out in life, and I hope those of you that are here today, that are in the days of your youth, I hope that you will always remember, and I hope that you will always know that there are better things in this life to be had than those things that you can touch and those things that you can see with your natural eyes and those things that, and of course, I believe that as time goes on, I mean, there are things that people possess now that it hasn't been very many years ago that people would have never dreamed that they could have something like that. I believe it was Brother Wheat, perhaps, I was talking about. We were talking last week, I think, about computers. And I said the computers now in our day, the little computers that people can set right there in their lap and play with, there was a time not that many years ago that to get a computer to do what those will do today, you would have had to have a whole wall of components to accomplish what they can get those little bitty boxes to do today. And man continues to advance, and the more that he makes, the more that he becomes interested in, and the more distractions that come. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is. The more distractions that come, and there's so many people today that have got so many electronic gods, and they just think, boy, if you've got one of these, you've got it made. But I want you to, I want you young folks here today to know, as you are in the beginning stages, as you're starting through life, there are better things to be had than what you can have materially. There are spiritual blessings that far outweigh those things. Clothes don't make the man. No matter what they tell you, the clothes do not make the man. Jesus, the reason that he was able to say and to caution people not to lay up treasures on earth was because he has better treasures to give. Folks, listen, they're even doing it today in the name of religion. And I believe it's deceitful, and I don't have any reservations about standing before you today and telling you that. I believe it's deceitful. There are people, there are men, you can turn on the television and you can see them. There are men in the world today that claim to be preachers, and they are standing before large congregations of people, and they're tickling their ears with this stuff, and they're telling them how that, the greatest things about the Lord is that he wants to bless your life here, and he wants you to have this, and he wants you to have that, and he wants you to possess this, and he wants you to possess that. And really, the truth of it all comes out in the end, but because before you know it, at the end of the program, they're begging for you to send their money to them. They're begging for your money, but they promote this stuff to people, the health, wealth, and prosperity type of religion. I'm going to tell you something today, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this world and he gave his life at Calvary, and he offered up his blood as an atonement for our sins, he did not do those things in order for us to be able to possess great material wealth. Jesus did those things that we could have something that is better than anything we'll ever have here. Amen. That we could have eternal life. You see, my treasures are not here. And if you've been saved, your treasures are not here. We're the richest people in the world, folks. But our treasures are not here. They're laid up in heaven. And while we have the greatest inheritance that anybody could ever have, and one of these days we'll receive it. We'll live in a land that has riches and beauty beyond anything this world has ever seen. We're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ. And you can't beat that. I mean, you just can't beat that for an inheritance. Vanity. I want you to think with me before I finish this message. I've said this before. I want you to really think about this if you're here today and you're not saved. Of all of the things that we do in life. It's no telling. I've told you before, I had my first public job the summer I got out of seventh grade. I was 13. During the summer when I was out of school, I worked about 60 hours a week washing dishes. At the end of 2 weeks, I got a paycheck for, I had 120 some hours, I got a paycheck for $92 and thought I was rich. But of all of the things that we do, it's no telling in between that point and now, and this is the same for all of you here, it's no telling how many hours that we invest in our lifetime involved in our secular labor. But of all of the things that we do, of all of the time that we invest, of all of the things that we accomplish with our hands, every one of us here today, we're coming to a little bitty brief moment in our existence, in our life, that there's only one thing that'll make any difference at all. I mean, listen to me, when you're getting ready to draw your last breath of life, when you're getting ready to step out of time into eternity, it won't make any difference who lived in the bigger house. It won't make any difference what kind of car that you drove. It won't make any difference what type of clothes, whether you got your clothes at Goodwill or you had designer clothes. It won't make one bit of difference in that moment. It won't make any difference if you had a big bank account or if you didn't have a bank account at all. None of those things will make any difference. We are all coming to that one little moment in our time, that split second there before we leave this world, that the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not you've been saved by God's grace. And that's it. That's all that'll make any difference whatsoever. And in that little moment of time when you're getting ready to pass from this life, you won't be able to offer God money. You won't be able to offer Him your wealth. The only thing that'll get you in safely into heaven is whether or not you've been born again by the Spirit of God. And I want to conclude with this. I didn't finish all of that in Luke 12, but that's exactly what Jesus spoke there in that parable. When the man said, I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll store all my goods, and I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Jesus spoke to him about that little moment, and he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That's it. That's all that matters, is where that you stand with. with God. Lazarus, in the situation there that I spoke about and that we read about in Luke chapter 16, Lazarus was the one that was rich because he had spiritual prosperity. He was rich toward God. Now, I want to ask you as we get ready to sing, if you're here today and you're lost, what about that little moment? You don't know when it's going to come. None of us know when that's going to come. But what about that little moment when you're getting ready to leave this life and enter eternity? There's nothing more important than the salvation of your soul. I'll tell you the extent that Jesus took it to. He said, he asked the question, he said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit? I believe Solomon answered the question, it would profit nothing. It would be filled with vanity and with emptiness. I'll tell you what, people, and I believe this, you can believe it if you want to, it's up to you, but I'll tell you what I believe it. I believe people that are really happy, I mean truly happy, there's a lot of false happiness in the world, but I believe people that are truly happy, they're happy no matter what their natural state is. If they've got a little bit or if they've got a lot, they're happy. If they're happy, they're happy. If they're not, they're not. And the only thing that these temporal things can do is secure for you a false sense of happiness and a false sense of security. But I'm telling you that God can satisfy your longing soul. He can give you something that'll make you rejoice, that'll make you happy in a way that nothing else in this world can ever accomplish. And so I'd like for us to have a song, and I'd like to make a plea today to anybody that's here that's lost and separated from God to come to the Lord, to seek after true riches, to seek after the salvation of your soul. That's the most important thing in life that will ever be accomplished, is whether or not you have been saved. Let's sing. I want to encourage everybody here today to do what the Spirit of the Lord bids you to do. Follow Him today and obey His leadership as we stand and sing.
Number 13.